is this? Would we turn up the party? All night feels good, we can't decide it. Is this? Would we turn up the party? All night feels good, we can't decide it. Turn up the party, turn up the party. Party, party, turn up the party.
Everybody, it is August 1st, 2019. This is the Geeks Next Door, episode number 170. And we are back from the Great White North with no internet reception. We're here with the full cast. If the full cast is three kings instead of five. Adam, what's up, man?
Yo.
Dave, what's up, man?
Hey, what's happening?
We're going to have an intimate little gathering tonight without those loudmouths around.
God, they fucking never shut up.
I know, right?
Actually, soccer is the greatest sport ever made, and programming is super great.
The power of the CW myth is that... a lot happened, though, right? Like, this has been a fucking huge week. Like, so much has happened that it's ridiculous. Or maybe that's just on my end, I don't know. Has a lot
What's happened on your end? Don't know. Tell me everything that's happened for you.
Well, there was a hibbing trip. There is full of mountains. And by mountains, I mean big holes in the ground.
I think that's the absolute opposite of a mountain.
Mines. Yes, a mine. Nobody understood whenever I'd be like, you have mines? And they're like, what?
I would just be so sad to say, like, nobody understands that dwarves have mines.
I know, right? It's very sad.
Being that your spouse is from Hibbing, how many times has she been in a mine?
I don't know. It's a good question. Whenever I bring it up, she, like, changes the subject really quick. She's like, oh, sorry, we don't talk about that in Hibbing. I'm like, oh, okay.
Why don't we talk about mines in Hibbing?
We don't talk about the reason why we don't talk about mines in Hibbing either, so...
But do we talk about that we don't talk about why we don't talk about the mines?
No, but we can talk about why we don't talk about mines and hidden.
Oh, okay. So we're almost there. Maybe she should go to and talk to someone about that. Like lay on a little couch and explain it. And she can get, and we get to the reason why these are things that we don't talk about.
But then, well, go ahead.
The problem is that person would be in a mine with a couch, mm-hmm. and she wouldn't go in there.
Mm-hmm. No, because we don't talk about it. Yeah. What was I going to say? Fuck me, I don't remember. Oh, so I felt super meta and awesome, because when I went to Hibbing, I spent the day wearing a shirt that just said Hibbing, and everyone was like, why are you wearing a shirt that says Hibbing? I was like, "Why? I'm in Hibbing, why wouldn't I wear a shirt that says Hibbing?
Can't I represent?
Oh, I don't... No, you cannot represent Hibbing. It's impossible, actually.
Because you could say, I've been in somebody who's been to Hibbing.
Oh, Jesus Christ. I mean, I see where you're going with this. I do.
Hibbing? It's a A-Dubs work in progress.
Yes, yes. We workshop that, and it'll work out perfectly. how's your week been, guys? What's new? What's happening? How was your fun week here?
Adam, can you describe your week? Come on, because you've been having the most fun.
Well, my management team at work is at a meeting in Milwaukee. So, three of us are assigned to be managers for the week, for the next couple of days. So, I'm having a great time being a manager.
From what I know from managers is they don't do as much work and they get paid more money. Right. So you should be having great.
Yeah.
Except for they have to get the fuck up early.
Oh, I know that.
Our managers have to be at work at 5 o'clock every morning. So
here's what I would do. Yeah. Get a fucking assistant to do that for you.
That's probably what the managers do. That's a good idea.
Yeah, like they don't actually show up. They have an assistant get there early.
That's what they're probably doing. That's why we're stuck doing management stuff.
I see.
It's a lot of coordinating and running reports.
TPS reports?
Yeah. TPS reports.
Good shit.
So, right. Yep.
Well, sorry about that. What about you, Dave? How's your day week been?
It's not bad. It's been pretty just busy and Actually, the weather's not terrible, so I'm happy with that. Been...
Says you.
Weather's been great.
I know it has been.
Says me, yeah, and most of the people.
It, like, rained, Europe, which... and then it stopped rained. It was good.
Well, that was, like, Sunday. That was, like, 5 days ago.
Whatever. It's been a lot. The last couple weeks have been weird because the boys haven't been at school for 2 weeks. So every day feels like just another weird day, you know, because I have to take certain days off work, and they're home all the time. So last 2 weeks have not felt normal. They felt more... vacation-y slash people, kids are sicky kind of thing. So
they're gonna like hate it. They're gonna hate going back to school.
Probably. I'm fun. I would want to stay home with me all the time if I could too.
Right.
Yeah. But let's kick off this week with a little segment I like to call, or Adam likes to call, "We Got Some Shit in the Mail."
Mailbag.
And this one was kind of fun because it's from a friend of the show. Tiffany Klunger or something like
that.
I don't know, something like that.
The true wife.
But she did say, "I'd really like to hear you guys write Ebert quality reviews." I don't know if she shared them with you, Dave. But
yeah, they're pretty funny.
They're pretty good. I just wanted to read the few 0-star movies he gave reviews to, because there's not a lot of movies that get 0 stars. That's kind of ridiculous. And yeah, I think we very easily could write reviews like this, except for we like movies too much. And I don't think you've ever seen a movie with 0 stars.
That's true.
Like, what's your most hated movie in the entire... If you could think back, like, 0 cinematic quality, I think you're going to come up empty. Because everything you could find a little bit of joy in,
yes,
right?
Yeah. That is my thing. It's like, I can always find something I like about something, because I'm a man of ideas. And if they have one clever idea, a clever line, or something interesting shot, I go like, "Hey, it wasn't a complete waste.
That's worth the price of admission."
Right, exactly.
Okay. So I'll just run through them. They're super small. They're like 2-sentence reviews. And if you know anything about the movie, let me know, because some of these movies I've never heard of. So the first one is The Brown Bunny in 2003.
I've never heard of it.
Never heard of this movie.
That is where, like... Oh, what was that girl's name? Hey, remember that zombie movie you just saw with like Kylo Ren and Bill Murray?
Yeah.
You know, the female cop?
Yeah.
She was dating the director at the time, and it was a movie that came out that had an unsimulated blowjob scene, because she was dating the director at the time, so there was a scene, and she just blew him.
It was unsimulated? Like literally she just had
She was sucked his dick in the movie.
Oh.
Yeah,
and what's that girl's name? Right. She's in something else super
Chloe famous. Chloe Sevigny.
What's she in that I know something that she's in.
She was in Big Love. She was in what else was she?
It's Big American, Love. That's, I know her from Big Love.
American Horror Story.
Yeah.
American Psycho.
You're right. She's in American Horror Story, but I know her from Big Love. So the Brown Bunny, which I never saw, so I can't really talk about if this review is accurate. But his review is: "I had a colonoscopy once, and they let me watch it on TV. It was more entertaining than The Brown Bunny." When the movie's director responded by mocking... when the movie's director responded by mocking Ebert's weight, Ebert said, "It is true that I'm fat, but one day I will be thin. He will still be the director of The Brown Bunny."
And that's just a variation of the old Winston Churchill one.
Yes.
Where Winston Churchill went to the Brown, and he was all like super drunk. He's like, "You, sir, are drunk." And he's like, "Yes, madam. But tomorrow I will be sober." No, but then he goes, "Yes, madam, I am. But tomorrow I will be sober and you will still be ugly."
Yeah, that was good.
That's hilarious.
Second one's a movie called Mad Dog Time from 1996.
I have not seen that.
This is a graduating movie. We graduated the year this came out. This should have been something that's on our radar. Never. Because we graduate, and in the summer we ain't got shit to do, so we should be going to see Mad Dog Time. I've never heard of Mad Dog Time. Have you guys ever heard of Mad Dog Time?
No. All right, I just looked up statistics on this.
Okay.
Box office, it made $107,000. And its budget was $8
million. Oh, and Ebert, no, he probably got like a free screening. So, but let's see if we can glean some information about what it is by this review. It says, "Mad Dog Time is the first movie I have seen that does not improve on the sight of a blank screen viewed for the same length of time." Wow. I've seen bad movies before, but they usually made me care about how bad they were. Watching Mad Dog Time is like waiting for the bus in a city where you're not sure they have a bus line. Med doc time should be cut into free ukulele picks for the poor.
All right.
That's really odd because Jeff Goldblum's in this movie.
Really?
Yeah.
Jeff Goldblum, Richard Dreyfuss, Gabriel Byrne, Ellen Barkin, Diane Lane, Gregory Hines, Kyle MacLachlan, Burt Reynolds.
God damn, Burt Reynolds.
It's got Burt some
Reynolds and it got Burt Reynolds and shit.
It must be
Burt Reynolds. It fucking has Richard Pryor in it.
Jesus Christ. I kind of want to watch it now just to see how bad it is.
How did it not? Yeah, jeez.
All right, number six is Deuce Bigalow, European Gigolo.
Yeah,
not European.
No, this is, I think, the sequel, must be?
Yes, this is the sequel.
Yeah, I never saw this. I never saw the first one either. Not the kind of movie I'd watch. But his review is, the title character makes a living prostituting himself. How much he charges, I'm not sure. But the price is worth it if it keeps him off the streets and out of another movie. Deuce Bigalow is aggressively bad as if it wants to cause suffering to the audience. The best thing about it is it runs for only 75 minutes. Speaking in my official capacity as a Pulitzer Prize winner, Mr. Schneider...
Pulitzer
Prize winner. Mr. Schneider, your movie sucks.
Aww.
Ah, it's so good. A few more. Freddy Got Fingered, 2001. I never watched it. Is this the Tom Green thing?
Yeah.
In vehicle. I remember I saw it on TV once. I saw parts of it, but I never watched it. So, any good? What'd you think of it?
The only part that's super funny is, like, he has a super hot girlfriend because, I mean, shit, he wrote it and made the movie. But she's also, like, in a wheelchair. And so she can't feel anything below her chest. So basically all she wants to do is suck his dick all the time. She's just all like, it makes her super happy. And I just was like, that's only someone who wrote and directed the movie would make a girl just be like, that's the only thing that makes her happy. I'm sorry.
It's true. Yeah, that's definitely true.
has nothing else in life.
The review makes me super happy. It says, this movie doesn't scrape the bottom of the barrel. This movie isn't the bottom of the barrel. This movie isn't below the bottom of the barrel. This movie doesn't deserve to be mentioned in the same sentence with barrels. Oh, that's such a good review. I don't know why I love that one so much. I just do. I think we got two more. She's Out of Control from 1989. Maybe we should skip this one because I've never heard of this fucking movie. Have you?
Nope.
Yeah,
that's not even a very good review either. I'm going to skip that one. All right. North in 1994. Never heard of it, but his review is genius. Remember, Pulitzer Prize winner. I hated this movie. Hated this movie. Hated it. Hated every simpering, stupid, vacant, audience insulting moment of it. Hated the sensibility that thought anyone would like it. Hated the implied insult to the audience by itself, by its belief that anyone would be entertained by it. And apparently the guy who wrote the film like confronted Ebert in the bathroom about his review.
Aww.
Which sounds kind of like something I'd like to know more about, but I didn't want to read anymore. So,
Dude, that's another movie that has a million people in it.
Yeah, really? It's got
Elijah Wood, John Lovitz, John Alexander, Alan Arkin, Dan Aykroyd, Kathy Bates, Julia Louis Dreyfus, John Ritter, Abe Vigoda, Bruce Willis does the narration, 9-year-old Scarlett Johansson briefly appears in this film.
Wow.
And it's directed by Rob Reiner, who did like The Princess Bride and Few Good Men and shit like that.
All the other good movies.
How do you do that?
Yeah, we should go back and like watch these movies together and be like, oh, I see what happened.
Yeah, I think so too.
So the last one is called Dirty Love from 2005. Another movie I have not heard of. It was recent, you know, last 20 years or so. So it must be people we kind of know in it, maybe.
Right.
Last zero-star review, he says, I would like to say more, but no, I wouldn't. I would not like to say more. I would like to say less. On the basis of Dirty Love, I am not certain that anyone involved has ever seen a movie or knows what one is.
Ooh.
What's up?
The budget was $9 million for this one, and the box office brought in $36,000.
Oh, that's fucking sweet.
Kevin Smith puts those numbers to shame. Are you kidding me?
Oh, it's Jenny McCarthy.
Oh, I see.
That explains it right there. But
and to give you an idea of what it takes to get a zero star from him, Battlefield Earth got a half a star.
Right.
Well, But we all saw Battlefield Earth in the theater.
That's true.
Yeah.
But it still got one star. One that made me super happy because I completely agree with is The Village from 2004, which got one star. So because I hate that movie. It was a Twilight.
Yeah, there's like, what else is there that like... thing is, I like fucking Tommy Boy.
Oh, that's... there's movies on this list that are good.
Yeah.
That you can tell either he was in a bad mood or it just hit him the wrong way. The Usual Suspects is one of my favorite movies.
Yes,
one,
I know.
1.5 stars. 1.5 stars.
Right. Stargate? Come on.
You can't screw that movie up.
Wait, Stargate's on this? I didn't even see that.
Yeah.
Oh, huh. Yeah, I wasn't... I only looked at the zero stars, really. I kind of skimmed the rest, but... yeah, Stargate's amazing. Come on.
Yeah, I know. Sorry, it is the kind of movie where the sun god Ra, who has harnessed the ability to traverse this universe at the speed of light, still needs slaves to build his pyramids. Where the local equivalent to a Nubian princess is sent into the chamber of the earth visitors to pleasure them. Don't tell me there aren't any coincidences. The movie Ed Wood, about the worst director of all time, had made us prepare for Stargate.
yeah, it's good time. So anyways, thanks Tiffany for sending that. That was fun to look at and read about.
That's pretty good.
What was I gonna write down?
It's too bad Ryan and Dave missed out on this.
That's okay. They could literally offer nothing to the conversation, so we're good. <That's>,
Ryan's like, I have not seen any movies.
Cool. Okay, so that's all I had for that. What's going on in the world today? Because there's a few things that I thought were pretty interesting, but I want to know where we're going. Did we get anything else from Comic-Con? Everything came out from Comic-Con, right?
Yes, pretty much everything came out with Comic-Con.
Yeah, and we talked about a lot of it last week. I had some thoughts, but what else is coming out? What else is going on?
So remember I was talking about HBO, how HBO is going to have his own streaming service?
Yeah.
And stuff like that, and it was like, whatever, $15? They said it was going to be about $15. Well, it has gone up in value to me personally, and quite basically, HBO Max has gained the exclusive rights to all the Doctor Who and all of the subsequent Doctor Who's.
Really?
Because there's no BBC America streaming here in the United States, because they... Yeah. So
they have exclusive rights?
Yes. Basically, so far it's not everything the BBC has made, but it's basically like all 11 seasons of Doctor Who, plus season 12 and beyond. Then they're going to get like the Luther, Top Gear, British Office, which, you know, it's whatever. But so it is basically upping its value proposition every time they get more things, which is pretty good.
Okay.
Are they going to rename it something else, or is it still going to be...
It's HBO Max, is what they're calling it. Mm. That's the official name, so...
That's kind of close to...
Cinemax.
They own Cinemax.
Do they really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Cinemax is like is an offshoot brand of the HBO suit. So...
It's true.
Which is cool. So, I mean, they have a lot of stuff, man. They, like... they're adding 700 episodes of BBC and BBC America programming. So that's another bunch, like 10,000 hours of extra stuff. So I thought that was pretty cool. So Taika Waititi, the guy who directed, you know, Thor Ragnarok, and is just a weird New Zealand guy, he has a trailer for his next movie. It's called Jojo Rabbit. I didn't read anything about it. I watched it. And it's about like a little kid who is in basically a Hitler youth who gets picked on by the other Hitler youths. So he has an imaginary friend who happens to just be his idealized version of Hitler, but he's still a little kid. So Hitler's just a super funny guy, and like it looks really weird and funny, and it's like. Oh. Oh, yeah. Like a commentary on like why, you know, like how dumb, from a kid's point of view, like why all nationalism is stupid and stuff like that. Why would you not want to be friends with everybody? Hmm. It's just it looks really fun, and like Scarlett Johansson's in it and stuff like that. Yeah, so that's coming out this fall. It looks super unique and weird, and I just
never heard anything about it. But okay,
I know, neither did I. And then and had a good song in this in the and it's only like the trailer is like an actual trailer. It's like a minute and 10 seconds long.
Huh.
Also, have you heard of a streaming service called Mixer?
No, but it's interesting you mentioned that. I was going to just talk about something called Plex too. But go ahead. Let's start with Mixer.
So Mixer is basically, we know Amazon owns the rights to Twitch.
Right.
That's why you get your free thing to add to Twitch every so often. So Microsoft has Mixer streaming platform, which, you know, is going to be on all the Xboxes and stuff like that, blah, blah, blah. But they went and bought Ninja, not bought him as a person, but bought him so he will only be streaming on not on Twitch anymore, will only be streaming on Microsoft's platform Mixer.
Damn. So if you don't know who Ninja is, he's probably one of the, if not the largest streamer that exists right now. I think PewDiePie is probably still bigger in as a whole, but on Twitch, Ninja's right where it's at. He's the number one.
Because Ninja was the first streamer to reach 10 million subscribers on Twitch.
Okay, interesting. So Mixer is like Twitch, but different?
It appears that Mixer is basically just the Microsoft-owned version of Twitch.
Okay, and is it live, or are they VODs, or...?
I've yet to do a lot of looking into it, but...
It looks like there's streams. I mean, I'm watching streams now, so yeah, okay. Interesting.
But, like, ESPN is, like, reporting on it because I don't know what the money is because it's going to be huge. It's basically ESPN reporters are like, I think it's a smart move by Ninja. He's definitely got paid a ton. He can now stream stress-free, worrying if it takes a weekend off for his family because it won't lose half his income because he's getting paid flat out to begin with. He could build what Mixer is... He can build what Mixer is instead of being what Twitch wanted him to be. So
it kind of looks like they're supporting teams more. I mean, there's an entire thing on teams. So what people have done independently on Twitch is make teams. They don't call themselves teams really, like in category, but they all support each other. They say between for these 6 hours I stream, the next 6 hours you stream, the next hour, and we're all in one team. And we all share our revenue, and we get ridiculous increase. We're always on, because that's the one thing that it takes to be a good streamer is you have to be on all the time. You have to be consistent and on all the time. So a bunch of people get together, and they basically, they're not a team, but they're like almost like a corporation within themselves. Here, they actually just have teams that it looks like people probably do the same thing. That's interesting. That's actually kind of a cool way of doing it. Okay.
Yeah, so I mean that the fact that that's happening is interesting, and I mean competition is always great. So I hope Microsoft has a shit ton of money. Like if they throw this money in there and be like, okay, cool, here you go. Like let's see what this is and how it.
Yeah, I love when there's extra ones because the next service is going to be one that combines them and says, "What stream do you want?" You know, it just. Its own page, and then it pulls from each other page and stuff, and then it'd be great. Okay, so that's a little different than I was going to text. When I was streaming the other day, and a guy came on, a couple guys were in the chat talking about Plex, which is a video streaming service of your own shit. So basically, it's like a free thing. You have a computer running, you throw all your media on there as digital devices, and it lets you like categorize and organize, and you can stream them from anywhere. And I didn't see anything about being it like account specific. So I think you could just like make accounts and give access to people. So if
it's software.
Yeah. So if I own the movie and you feel like watching it and my computer's on and running and streaming, then you can pull it and watch it from there too. And it organizes everything. So everything that's in your Amazon library, everything that's in your like anything you purchased that you can
music
pull into
even.
That. Yeah. Music as well. And I don't know. It's free. It's just the app right now. There is like a paid service. I don't know what the paid service does, but I think it also gives you like kind of local channeling and stuff like that. So it's definitely something I'm going to look into eventually. I don't have hardly any of my stuff digitalized. It's easy to do. I just haven't done it. And it would be kind of cool because I hate going through all my shit and being like, I feel like watching Reservoir Dogs. Let me go find Reservoir Dogs. You know? But it's interesting. It's interesting. They talked about it. I felt old because I was like, what the fuck's Plex, you guys? And they were like talking about it back and forth and shit. So that's kind of cool. I don't know. If anybody else knows anything about it,
No, that's super interesting.
It's kind of cool because you can look at the organization thing and the streaming thing is kind of what they're going for. And you get a Plex Pass. Ooh.
It's like $5 a month for the premium. Awesome benefits.
I don't know what that does for you.
Exactly. I don't know. It's awesome, like photos. Awesome. That's what it says.
Awesome benefits.
Awesome benefits.
I don't know what that
time
means.
View. So it'll store photos.
I think this gives you the ability to use like a DVR too as well. So like you could DVR shows and shit like that onto their site as well. Or maybe you can just do that in general. No.
And then it'll allow parental controls.
Right.
It's got a DVR.
Watch and record free broadcast TV with a Plex Pass, an antenna, and a tuner. You can stop paying for cable and still enjoy a great television. Watch, pause, and record your favorite free HD broadcast channels, including local news, sports, and any device anywhere in the world. You can even skip commercials. That's pretty cool. I don't know. It's something I'm going to look into because I think I'm in, you know, I just got rid of cable and I'm kind of on this. What am I using right now? YouTube TV, but I'm not married to it. It seems like it's a fine thing right now, but if they keep enhancing and doing different shit, that's cool. We'll go with that. So that's interesting. Something to look at. So speaking of Marvel, since Dave brought up Marvel.
So damn it, Dave.
Black Widow's the first movie that's coming out, right, for Phase 4.
Yep.
Okay.
And Black Widow's dead.
Okay. Yep.
But this movie is going to take place in the past. They keep talking about it being the Budapest mission kind of a thing, right?
Okay. Yep.
I've told you in the past that I'm not looking forward to just a simple spy mission in the past. I don't think it's I'm not interested. I don't know. I almost feel like Endgame upped the game to a point or upped the ante to a point where it's hard to have, here's her origin. Here's her spy story. She did something cool. Isn't that cool? And I thought that would be kind of... I wasn't looking forward to it, right? I was like, I don't know.
Okay.
So I was watching a trailer of another show, and I thought about this. I mean, if it's Phase 4, they're obviously not just going to put this in the past. I mean, they can't just be like, here's a standalone Phase 4 thing. So I started thinking, I wonder if, like, if something happens in Budapest that actually affects shit that they know about, like, in the future, and they've known about it the whole time. So whenever her and Clint say, just like in Budapest, they're actually referring to something they know will happen in the future that will affect the entire universe as a whole kind of a thing. Whether it be the mutants thing or the celestials/internals kind of thing. I think it got me more excited because I think there's a way they could do it that would be... Because obviously it's Marvel. They're gonna make it connect. And I think there's a way they could do it where if you go back and watch the other movies, every time they mention, oh, just like in Budapest or something, or just like, you know, it could have extra amazing meaning, and then it would make me happy again. So I'm now more excited for a Black Widow movie, and I'm looking forward to it. That's my whole spiel that I want to say about that.
So tie a bow onto her final, I don't know.
You just kept talking. You're just like, you don't even know what's going on.
They could actually do it, and she could, I mean, they could bring her back, but they also could keep her dead very easily. And you know what? Maybe they even knew that one of them was going to die in the future based on this Budapest mission or something like that. I think it would be kind of neat. I think it would be pretty fucking cool and a good ending for something like that. So.
Yes.
And I don't know, maybe they don't want to pay her anymore. She's probably getting a lot of money, right?
Maybe she took an Alec Guinness.
They all take Alec Guinnesses. Come on. That's how they all make all their money. And like how you keep the initial costs down. Where it's like, hey, okay, cool. I'll be in this movie for way smaller than my actual value in money. That's how Robert does. You don't pay him $75 million.
Right.
Like right out the gate. Otherwise, the budget of the movie would be astronomical. So you pay him a small amount and then he gets money on the back end, which he's more than happy to, because he knows, you know,
he's awesome,
ridiculous amounts of money.
Right.
Anybody watch The Boys?
Through episode 3-4.
Okay.
They haven't got the girl yet.
I haven't seen anything on this, really. I know you guys mentioned it last week, but I haven't really I don't know. Do I want to see it? Watch it.
Watch the first scene. If it doesn't hit you as pretty interesting, then you don't need to watch it. Because I actually showed Amy. I was like, I want you to watch this just so you can see. And you know, so one of my favorite things at the beginning of Game of Thrones shows, it would come up with like the rating, like, hey, this has some sexual shit in it. This has some language. And it usually like three or four of them. This had the most fucking rated things I've ever seen in any movie. It had like eight of them up there. And I was like, holy shit, that's a lot. And yeah, the first scene, like his girlfriend. And I'm just gonna talk about it. And if it sounds like something you want to watch, because most people, I think, I haven't heard a big buzz about it. Maybe people aren't watching it, but
I got renewed for a second season.
Did it good because he's on the street and they're having this tender moment, and Amy's like, "Oh, I really liked her," because he's just standing there holding her hands and talking about moving in together, and slow motion to her exploding and her fucking blood going all over his face, and you know it's super slow motion, and she's just a bag of blood, and then he's just standing there holding her arms still because. The guy who plays like the Flash character accidentally ran through her, blew her up by running through her.
She was in the street. She was in the street. She was a fucking half step off the curb.
Yeah, he just ran through her, and he like stops. I'm like, I gotta keep going. I gotta keep going. And then that's kind of his introduction into the dark world of what the superheroes actually are. And. Yes. And Amy was like, oh, I really liked her. And that was my thought, too. I was like, I like that character. She was fun. And she was in the show for like 5 minutes before she blew up.
Yes. Aww. Yeah. And it's funny because in the original comics, the guy, like the character who was the guy whose girlfriend blew up looks exactly like Simon Pegg. You know, like when he was younger, really? 20 years, or like, that's, you know, 15 years ago. Oh, cool. So then, yeah, then his dad is playing, Simon Pegg is playing his dad, because he was like, they originally like, hey, you want to do this? He's like, I'm too old now.
That's pretty cool, actually, that they did that. Because I was wondering, why is Simon Pegg his dad? He's supposed to be like, fighting zombies.
It's super fun, dude.
It's super dark, too. Like,
yes.
It's funny, but like, dark.
Yes, it is the blackest of black comedies. Yeah. It is...
I'm on the last episode, and like I started the last episode at 1:30 last night, and I was like, "Man, I gotta get up early and go to the zoo. I can't fucking do this." So it was hard. One of the hardest things I did was to push stop on that fucking thing. Cause
I bet. Yeah.
So I'll finish it tonight and see how it ends up. So.
But it's pretty good.
I'd recommend it if you have a darker taste in kind of the superheroes. Dude, Adam, the Aquaman character tries to fucking liberate a dolphin and things go really bad. But they always make fun of him for being the Aquaman character, and he's oh god, he's so fun.
Why don't you go fuck a dolphin in his blowhole? Adam, it's super funny. Because they all have
They're all super flawed. They're all ridiculously flawed humans.
Flawed, yes.
Yeah, they're like...
But then you can see the archetypes. You can see, like, boom, this is this one, this is this one, this is this one, and everyone is... Everyone... It's just like, yes, what would you be if you had unlimited power? What would you do?
Yeah.
Is it better than Netflix comic book... I'm trying to remember the name of it.
Netflix comic book?
The recent Netflix superhero movie or series. Can't think of it.
But you're not talking about like Daredevil and Jessica Jones and stuff.
No. It's that other one.
Huh.
With that one chick.
I wonder what he's referring to.
Like Jessica Jones?
No.
Okay.
This is like, it's amazing. Who can guess Adam's mind?
Yeah, I know.
First.
Hold on, I'll find it in a second.
Now you got me.
The Umbrella Academy?
There you go.
They're completely different.
Oh, how do I explain it? Umbrella Academy has interesting ideas, and this is just... has a lot of humor and darkness.
Right. Okay. So you know, comic books, like, people live up to pinnacles and stuff like that, and they're archetypes for a reason. It's like, why does Superman do the thing he does? He's not fucking doing it for money or anything like that.
Right.
But imagine if there was a person who had Superman-like powers. What would this person, being a fucking flawed-ass human, you know, effectively do? What do we care about? Money. We care about power. We care about, like, boning shit. We care about all that stuff.
Yeah.
But who's going to stop a person who has Superman power if he just wants to do whatever he wants to do?
See, that's what they're coming into very... That's what the last episode... They're up against it. I'm like, oh, man, I don't know how this is going to end.
Yeah.
I don't... I'm not excited for Huey's future. Is what they're not looking good for him.
But, like, yeah, it's cool. And, the origins of people on, like, why they are, you know, like, how they came into being. It's, like, it's, you know, is interesting, especially in the comic books. They talk about that a little bit. Hmm. And, like, but, yeah, it's, yeah, I like it. Yes, actually,
a lot. So, one of the things that me and Amy talked about. Okay, I'm not going to bring that up. Never mind.
Oh, it's so good you can't even bring it up.
Well, no, it's just a
tea show.
No, actually, I didn't watch it with Amy. I didn't watch it at all. But I was, there's a definition of certain terms that I had to kind of look up before I thought that I'm wrong. So I'm going to assume I'm wrong and say go from there. Anyway, it doesn't matter. It's a fun show. It's pretty dark. Don't watch it with your kids. If you do, it's not my fault. Because there's a lot of fucking lasering people in the face and shit till they melt. Because Superman turns out to be kind of a dick.
Hey, this guy can turn invisible.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, what would you do if you were invisible? I mean,
yeah, Adam, what would you do if you were invisible? Whatever the fuck you want.
Right?
That's pretty much what it is.
It's pretty much anybody. If you can move as fast as the flight, what would you do? Whatever the fuck I want.
Okay, what else happened out in the ether?
Adam, man, you gotta have something good. You've been...
No, I've been fucking going to bed early.
You've still been mining for diamonds, though.
No, I haven't. I did that today, waiting for Chris to get on.
There was waiting something
for Chris to get on.
What did I hear about? There's a show that what's his name? Fatty Smith was talking about. What was it? See if I can figure. Oh man. Oh, it's fucking. Fairy fucking. What's fairy fucking?
I don't know. Like
nymphs?
A show that has fairies in it?
Yeah.
Dryads?
And it's fucking fairy fucking. Has Orlando Bloom.
Oh yeah, that's that Carnival Row.
Carnival Row, yeah. So yes, what I liked about this was Carnival Row apparently takes place in a world, our world, where like fairies and centaurs and nymphs, they're all real and people, yep, they're kind of like second class citizens, I think. But and then they all fuck each other, and it's a lot of fun watching them fuck. But it sounds like it's got Orlando Bloom and what's her name? That one chick from that one show.
It's that one chick that was from that movie that had the really great opening space movie.
Yeah,
she played one.
Then she was also the
Cara Delevingne.
Yeah, she was the Enchantress.
And she was also the dancey lady.
Yeah,
she was
the Enchantress in Suicide Squad. Yeah. But anyways, apparently, you know, Comic-Con happened and Kevin Smith works Comic-Con, and he was on the IMDb boat and interviewing the cast, I guess. Cuz this show hasn't aired. The production's done, and the dude who made it, like, was kind of, the way he tells it, he's kind of sitting off to the side, and he's like, "Hey man, what do you do?" And he's like, "Well, I created the show." And he's like, "Well, come sit down, you motherfucker, and talk to me and shit." Cuz he's like, "What does the cast have to say? It hasn't aired yet. They can't talk about anything, but the guy who produced or created it, I could talk to." And apparently he created it like 20 years ago and it never got made. And he's like, "I've just been waiting." And he worked on a few other movies. He's been a screenwriter. He worked on The Robots, Pacific Rim, a couple other movies. He's been a producer or a screenwriter in Hollywood for a while. But he said, this is the first thing he pretty much ever wrote that never, and it never got made. And to see it being made after 20 years is pretty cool. And I was just thinking, that is pretty neat. Like, can you imagine making something and it just sits there and nobody knows about it for 20 fucking years?
No.
Because I've done that. It hasn't been 20 years yet, but it's coming up on it. And all of a sudden it just hits and it's huge and you get to see it be made. That's pretty cool. It's pretty neat. And it's also neat that he interviewed the creator. The creator guy was like, nobody has done that. Nobody does that. They all want to talk to the pretty people like Orlando Bloom and the Enchantress, but nobody wants to talk to the ugly guy who made the movie or made the idea. So right. I'm looking forward to this after that, because apparently it's just got a lot of fairies having sex and stuff. So I like watching fairies have sex. There you go.
Yeah, and the other guy, who it's like, because, that was Travis Beecham. But then the other guy is like Rene Escobar, who I guess is like a big writer, and he wrote on Star Trek Next Generation, Archangel, Castle. He wrote the Offspring episode.
Yeah.
you know, with Data's kid. Mm-hmm. He wrote Transfigurations.
So speaking of Data's kid, I've heard a lot of people talking about the trailer for Picard.
Yep.
And they're like, I don't understand how Data's in it. And I'm assuming those people don't remember Nemesis, the last movie that was made.
Right.
Where basically Data's comes back because they had a backup copy of him, but he doesn't really have his personality or memory. But he's Data. They could start transferring some of that shit if they wanted to, or if they found a way to, couldn't they?
There's a way to back everything up.
I mean, they backed up fucking Vision. They can back up Data.
Right.
His name is literally Data, which you back up. But it's just confusing. People are like, I don't understand. You see him in pieces, and then he's like talking at the end, and maybe these people don't watch Star Trek.
And the thing is, we know about is like fucking Dr. Noonien Soon could have made a shit ton of fucking robots. That's like true. The physical part isn't the part. The positronic matrix is.
Yeah, so that's stable. That's,
yep. That was the problem.
Yeah. And apparently, it has come out since then that almost everybody's going to be back for at least part of episodes. Like Jonathan Franks, Mary Cyrus, and a bunch of other people are also going to... You know fucking Will Wheaton, Mr. Wesley Crusher, is going to come back in some way, right?
You got to expect him to come in.
Like, if he fucking zooms back with his boy and he's like, I've just been fucking cruising the galaxy with my boy over here. Old forehead over here is like...
Speaking of which, Amy follows Will Wheaton on social media, and you know how they have that aging app that people have been using?
Okay.
Like, it takes a picture of you and it like shows you what you would look like 20 years from now or whatever.
Sure. Yeah.
The Russian one, yeah.
I don't know. Probably. Who cares? Will Wheaton posted something and said, I did the aging app and this is what I got. And it showed a picture of what Q makes him from that one episode where he gets he was like 25 and all big, and he's like, he was like, there you go, you're grown up. And it was pretty, it was a fun Star Trek joke. Good job.
Yeah, it's funny because like I follow Collider. It's like the Collider, basically these guys who do like make a bunch of like YouTube movies and stuff like that, and they're really good at like special effects and stuff. And they said, like, they when that app came out and they're looking at it, they're like, what the fuck? We got to figure out how it does that. Because they've been really working on making deep fakes and shit like that and trying to figure out how to do that. And they're, like, effectively saying, like, it's like deep faking it based on taking all the data from, like, a bunch of, like, Google image searches of how wrinkles form on people's faces and adding them to your face. So it's like, they basically did it and then showed, like, how it worked. And, like... They did it by, and they would go like, they would just draw, they'd draw like a happy face on like on a whiteboard and then started adding like more and more features, making it more real. And somebody like, okay, like if we add cheekbones, now the wrinkles are going on the cheekbones and stuff like that, because it's like, it's recognizing this is where, you know, approximately, but you know, an inch and a half underneath your eye, there should be a cheekbone, you know, so like if you add a wrinkle here. So it was pretty cool that they were breaking down how that app works based on like just figuring it out and being smart. I thought it was pretty cool.
That is pretty neat. I didn't think about that, how they could do that. I was just while you were talking, I was looking at that Plex still. It popped up on my screen. I didn't notice, like Adam said, it's $5 a month.
Yeah.
You could pay yearly for $40, which is, breaks it down to what, $4 a month or something? Or
that's good.
You can have a lifetime subscription. for $120. That's pretty fucking cheap for a lifetime subscription.
We've done that.
That being said, it's the lifetime of the app. It might like die in 2 years and never not have enough money or get sold to somebody.
For them, they just wanna it's basically small amounts of people do that, it's a huge influx of like actual cash right now.
Yeah.
And then they can say, hey, we're making all this money, and basically they could work in perpetuity in debt. They could be like, hey, we make this much because 1% of the people who download it every month pay for the whole subscription.
Yep. And if you consider like how much a cable bill is right now, like $200 in some places, or $120 doesn't seem like that much money.
Right.
But again, lifetime subscription doesn't mean your lifetime. It means lifetime of how long this thing's going for. So, buyer beware.
Yeah. Because I think we've got it down to, like, what I want. Like, I'll probably get HBO Max because of what it has on it, the movies and stuff. Tiffany likes Hulu and whatever that costs, whatever, five, I don't know. She doesn't care. She watches commercials anyway.
And then DC one's hard not to, or the Disney Plus one's hard not to have.
And Disney Plus one. I think those will be the three. And I think that has got like 95% of what I want.
Yeah, everything. It would be easy for me if I could figure out baseball. I mean, it's,
yeah. See, that's your problem. That's a hard problem.
That's your problem.
It's a hard problem to have.
Yeah, because I mean, it's great that I can watch it with YouTube TV, but that's $50 a month, and if it's just for baseball, it's hard to sell. You know, I do watch it all the time though. So, but maybe in the off season, I can like get rid of it for. Because I don't watch hockey. Come on, nobody watches hockey.
Not in Minnesota.
Adam watches hockey.
Yeah. No, I don't.
This is not. It's not like this is the state of hockey or anything.
We are the state of hockey.
Cool. Well, I ain't got nothing else. That those are my biggies. What you guys?
Absolutely.
Anything else or?
Let's
talk, since Adam's never gonna see it, and it's just two of us here and Adam can play some Minecraft. Let's talk a little about the movie we saw last night.
Playing Minecraft.
Our movie we saw Tuesday night.
Oh, we went and saw Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Yeah.
Tarantino's liked movie, it a lot, dude. Right? I liked it a lot. I thought the characters, as per usual, the characters were really great. They were like, it's cool to watch a guy who looks like Leonardo DiCaprio, but you can see him, like, you see stuff that might actually take place amongst people who are really, we see only as good and awesome and stuff like that, being so just disliking themselves and not being able to fit into, basically being bipolar, like super alcoholic bipolar and stuff like that. Just so mad at himself for not remembering lines and stuff like that.
Spoilers. We're probably gonna end after this pretty soon. So if you don't want to know anything about the movie, you can end the podcast here. Thanks for listening. But if you're a true fan, and spoilers don't mean shit to you, like Adam here, who's awesome, spoil a little bit, because my review doesn't make sense without some spoilers. Right. And it's not really a review. I just want to talk about it. But you're right. His characters are what makes the movies, right? I mean, I honestly think most good characters make a movie, but usually you get like a good plot as well. His movies, I think, are like 90% characters. Like, if you look at the plot, there's not much there. There's very, very little. And you might know a little bit about the movie. It takes place around, it's adjacent to the Manson murders, right?
Yes.
Where Sharon Tate, that actress, died because the Manson kids killed her. So what he does really well, and they're always long. This is a 3-hour movie almost, right? It's fucking just
that's
under
2:45. It was 2:45, yeah.
Just under 3 hours. Now, it was kind of nice that we got to see an 8 o'clock movie because it made it palpable where we could be out by 11. But, so you're watching the movie, and the whole time I'm watching the movie, I'm saying to myself, like I do in any other movie that takes around a historical subject, well, I know how this ends, so it kind of sucks the way it ends. But how's it going to end? Like, I know what happens. She dies. Is he going to be like the neighbor that like observes it? Is he going to call? Is he going to go over there? What's going to happen exactly? Because I know historically what happens. And then like 2 hours, 2.5 hours goes by because you're thinking this, and Tarantino does this thing where he's like, you don't remember my movies? You don't remember my movies, bitch? I do what I want. I don't give a shit about historical accuracy. I do what I want. Do you remember when I made Hitler? Hitler just died. People shot him. That's what happened in my movie. I do what I want. So when the movie hits, the climax of the movie, which, to be honest, is the last 15 minutes, so you're spending 2.5 hours of characters and just kind of meandering your way through 1960s Hollywood. When it hits, you're like, oh, shit, I forgot. You can do whatever the fuck you want.
Yes, you can do whatever you want.
And then it made me happy because I expected one ending. Then I was like, oh, wait, no, this is alternate World War II history. We can do whatever the fuck we want. Yes. And he made it end in a grisly, satisfying way, which made me, you know, go, oh, God, no, stop.
It did. It went from when it's all like, and he just said, you know, Brad Pitt is like,
that
and
was
like,
bad. Ah! That was bad, but it was the fucking head. The head over and over and over. And then I don't understand why you need a flamethrower in your shed.
Because they set it up earlier. It's like, I used a flamethrower. Burned it to a crisp.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that was from 14 Fists of... Oh, yeah. Yeah, I got... Why do you have a flamethrower? Just keep it in my shed.
So I had a good time with it, man. Even though it was long, it didn't really seem long because you never really knew what was going on or what the plot was going with it. And there was a few suspenseful times where he does suspense really well, like at the ranch and stuff. I didn't think it was... the what I've heard about it is people have said that it was glorifying Manson. I don't think that's true at all. I think he's in one scene, not named, and then it shows you how fucked up everybody is.
Right.
And then my father-in-law read an article or review from Bruce Lee's daughter who said she didn't like the way he was portrayed in the movie.
Right.
I understand that to a point, but from what I know of Bruce Lee, from just reading a bit about him, he was kind of a dick when he was younger, right?
Yes.
He was egotistical. He was self-centered. And I'm sure that was probably not too far off, but... The thing is, they didn't make him look that bad. It made him look like he was confident, a little cocky, a lot of cocky, and then they didn't even finish the fight. Like, who won the fight? It was a draw, basically.
Yes.
So, and then I was like, okay, Amy, so let's say I die in 5 years, and 20 years from now they make a movie of me because I was amazing. And what would Adonis and Leander know of me when I was 20 years old? They're not going to know shit about what I was like when I was 20, 25 years old. And if they get mad because I'm portrayed as cocky, whatever. But they're not going to know shit about me. Like, our kids don't know what we were like 20 years ago, do they? And they never will.
Right.
Oh, no.
So I don't really understand where that critique came from, other than the fact that she's probably just trying to protect her father's kind of legacy. Yeah.
And also, I just be like, this is the real universe.
That's true.
I imagine it as in, like, Bruce Lee comes to a film set and starts talking all this stuff, and all these guys that are stuntmen have been hanging out doing their job for years and years and years, and they say, like, okay, you're like a tiny little guy who says all this stuff, you know, I don't think, you know, because he's talking about, you know, Muhammad Ali, and Muhammad Ali is a big fucking guy, and this shit like that, and you're just like, well, that's not how it works here in this world, where it's like big people usually beat up little people.
Yeah, I had no problem with it. But what annoyed me was it was taken as fact. Like, this is...
Yes.
This is... It's he is not portrayed well. And I'm like, bullshit. I watched that movie. I thought he was portrayed fine. Cocky and kind of self-centered. Sure. From what I read about him in the past, that's what he was. And it's a different universe, as we kind of established. So, whatever.
God, that was so good. Because that was like a 10-minute flashback sequence where he just sits there, thinks about something. It's all like, oh, yeah, you can't come on the film set because the guy who's doing this is this guy, and nobody likes you. Let me think. And then it does this whole scene, and you're like, what the fuck? That was so good. And he just goes like, yep. I understand that.
I think one of my favorite scenes was his flashback of, you know, that guy killed his wife and got away with it, right? And then they just never show it. They show the boat. They show him standing there with a fucking spear harpoon. They never show anything. You don't know if it actually happened.
She's just fucking complaining. I've been on this boat for 10 blah, 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 blah. And he's just sitting there with a spear gun, like, drinking. Yeah, I don't know, man. I might shoot her with a spear gun.
But they never resolve. They're just like, you don't know. You don't know if he's actually a murderer or not, which is kind of fun. So, it was well done. Now that I think about it more, it was well done. You just got to be. You got to go in looking for character. Like, a lot of people looking for plot, and they're like, nothing happened in this movie. You're right. Nothing really happened. I mean, what happened? He made a movie? Or did he make a TV show? That one guy made a TV show, and his stunt double, like met some people.
Drove his car around.
That is literally all that happens. The entire...
Right? He goes, picks up a hitchhiker, is like, yeah, I'll bring you to that ranch. I used to work on this ranch. Well, there's a stuntman back here. Did it. Okay, cool. Hey, is that guy still living? Yeah. Can I talk to him? No.
Yeah.
And that's guess what? I'm going to talk to him anyway. that whole scene happens. There's like, that was like suspenseful as shit. Because you're just like, what's going to happen? It's like, there's a lot of them. Yeah. There's like 30 people. It's like, are they going to get him in a rush? What's going on?
Yeah. So it was a good show. Go watch it if you got 3 hours of your life to kind of to watch something fun. You know, I liked it. So
change that tire. Can I get a rag to wipe up my butt? No, change the tire first. It was good.
All right, and Adam.
I don't think it's all character, so we didn't change the plot all that much. We didn't say much of the plot. So.
No, it's just that, thing about alternate history and stuff, so you can do whatever the fuck you want. So, but no, you don't really know anything. So, what else you got, Adam? What else you got, baby? What else you got for me? Give me something good to end on, something clutch.
Yeah, I got nothing.
Hobbs and Shaw comes out tomorrow.
Shit. I was gonna say, are we gonna see a later show? You got time for it or no?
Tomorrow? I think I have time.
Hobbs and Shaw, baby. Hobbs and Shaw.
And they said
looks so ridiculous.
They are creating an extended universe. So be sure to sit through the credits because there is 3 post-credit scenes.
3.
There's one that happens right at the end of the movie, there's one that's mid-credits, and there's one at end-credits.
That's crazy.
Yeah. They're starting their own universe.
Yeah, good times. Good times. Hey, you know what I forgot about Spider-Man when we talked about Spider-Man? Did we ever get around to talking about Spider-Man?
Nope, because nobody has seen it except for us.
What the fuck, man?
We can fucking talk about Spider-Man. What's going on?
Yeah. No.
Well,
we can't talk about a movie that took place that came out like... a month ago? Literally 1 month ago.
No, it's just us, so we'll wait another week. Maybe when people are back, we'll watch. We'll give Adam another week. Go bring your kid the fucking Hiderman. That's what Adonis calls him. Hiderman.
Ooh, that's like the Japanese version of Spider-Man. Hiderman. Yeah, Griff and Tiffany went and saw Lion King the other day, and he's all like, to me, I was like, oh, it must be a Chris Banks review here because he goes, too many villains. I like it when the good guys hang out and get
adventure. That's right. The good guys and all got to be together. System.
He's like his own rating system, which is double thumbs up is good. This is a medium, and this is a bad. Oh. So he's got one extra scale in there.
So what do you give Hideman or Lion King?
Yeah, he gave it one of these because he liked some of the stuff, but he didn't like all the bad guys. He just didn't like. He's like the hyenas. I don't like the hyenas. I think hyenas biting things in real life, like that look real. I think are a little more intimidating and stuff.
That's true.
Than like animated hyenas. You're just like, oh, okay, whatever.
Yeah, we just started showing Adonis and Leander Lion King. They've never really watched it, and now Adonis is really into it. Like, he sees the poster, and he's like, Lion King! Everything's H. Lion King!
I'm the king.
But Leander don't give a fuck, so it's hard to be like, let's go see the other one, when Adonis is like, yeah, let's go watch it, and Leander don't give a fuck. But it's nice that he gets all the new toys from Happy Meals and stuff from the movie that
he watched. We went swimming right after work, and we stop, and you got the Zazu thing, and he's like, I'm just like, hey man, you gotta eat your food, buddy. He's like, but it's a sweet ass toy. It's like, I want to play this toy.
Has Orin been to a movie yet?
No, I haven't brought him to the theater yet.
How do you think he would do? I mean, we haven't done it yet either. Persephone we did really early because she loved to watch movies, but I mean 2 is a little young, but I don't know. What do you think?
3 I think is a little too young. He like, I've tried to get him to watch like Monsters Inc. and he's just not interested. It's a little scary yet.
No, I understand that.
So,
It's the but it's the whole like, and you don't have, if you go in with the expectations of maybe you'll get an hour of him thinking it's kind of cool, the whole experience, like you get to go to a place, sit down, get a kid's meal with popcorn and a drink or something, you know, a special drink, and make that kind of like a whole experience and see how he does. I think it'd be interesting because, yeah, you're right. Three is very young, but I think we got to – it's imperative to bring kids to movie theaters as early as possible so they watch movies for their whole life so that they can watch movies with you your whole life.
Yes, exactly. Griff was three and we went and saw Into the Spider-Verse because I was like, this is something I want to watch. So you kind of want to watch it too, don't you? Well, yeah, of course he wants to watch it because it's like his dad wants to watch it.
Yeah.
Right.
And I also got in trouble because I said, hey, we watched Jaws and he was like two and he thought it was great.
Whoops.
Yeah.
Not whatever. A whoops. We watched it. It's like,
I don't know. Like, because when I bring the boys to baseball, like, they don't go for baseball. They go to be with me, to sit there,
exactly.
To get treats, to clap when everybody else is clapping, and to be part of the experience, which is always fun. So yeah, as long as your expectations are, maybe we'll get 20 minutes out of a half hour of kind of fun things. I don't know.
That's the hard part.
I do remember, just during the day when like kids are expected to go to like a matinee, and you know, noon matinee. Because I do remember Persephone for a few movies, she'd walk up and down the aisle a few times because she got bored. And maybe we'd watch a little bit more and we'd sit down, but then we'd leave, you know. It's just fun to do. But anyways,
So, Adam, try and bring that kid to a movie.
That's right. So we can talk about it, and you'll be like,
"Right,
wait, what? I didn't get to watch anything. I was chasing my kid around the theater, fucker."
Yeah, but he'll learn. He'll learn.
He also can't tell Joyce. She might say no.
Right.
It's better to ask for forgiveness than ask for permission.
Too much screen time is not good.
That doesn't count as screen time. That's experience of dad time. There you go. Yeah. All right. Well, Adam, where can people get in touch with us? Because you know you're yankering to tell people.
All right, Chris. we're on Facebook at the Geeks Next Door. We got a website, www.geeksnextdoor.xyz, and drop us an email at Geeks Next Door FTW, that's for the win, Chris, at gmail.com.
Excellent as always.
And don't forget about Twins on Twins.
Has been posted. So two things before we go. One, I got approached from somebody who's like, do you want geeksnextdoor.com?
Oh, really?
I didn't respond to him because it was either a fish or somebody that's asking for money. And I don't want to do either of those. Right. So go, oh, fuck yourself. Right. And once it lapses, maybe we'll pick it up. And two, get to the website soon because I haven't updated in about 4 months, so I'm going to update it soon, and then you'll lose all the old fucking updated stuff and shit like that. Anyway, it doesn't matter. We're gone for the week. Thanks for joining us. I don't know. I had a good time. See you later.
So did I.
Bye.
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 How's that Minecraft coming?
I'm not playing Minecraft.